He believes God died.
A third of God. How much of God died? A third? Mr. Hill, did a third of God die, or how much of him died? Come and remember me bringing out this. I'm trying. I'm working at it. He prayed as man. As God, he answered prayers. Didn't I say it? He slept as man. As God, he come to see. He died as a man. And as God, he raised the dead. In John 2:19, he even raised himself while the body was dead. Because there was a part of him that was Jehovah God of the Old Testament that was omnipresent, that never has died, nor will ever die. Not there yet, three more minutes. Catholics say the Holy Ghost is not Jesus in spiritual manifestation. But Christ says the Holy Ghost is Christ in you. Colossians 1:27. Come and deal with this, sir. Christ coming to you. John 14:18. Jesus said, he talks about the other comforter. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless, but I will come to you. Then he would rather go out in this right hand thing that Stephen saw a vision. And the Bible talks about it being the right hand of power and the right hand of majesty. And I mentioned that Jesus cast out devils by the finger of God. Where was Mr. Hill when I was talking? Counseling, not with his equal, but with one greater. Mr. Hobbs. All right, the Holy Ghost is not the Father. That's what he says. I submit to you that Jesus, he says that question, how can the first person of the Trinity be the father of the second person and still be fathered by the third person? I'll tell you what a mess he's got his doctrine in. The Son of God, the Son of Mary, was born as a virgin conception. The Bible said the Holy Ghost, that he says is a person, shall come upon you. Oh, I'm panning his hide now. Yeah, you get this. You know what I'm talking about. This man's denying the virgin birth. The Holy Ghost, the third person of the Godhead, shall come upon you, Mary. And that which is in thee shall be called the Son of the first person, or the Son of God. Now, how in the world can one God stay up in heaven and tell the third God what to do to produce a child down on earth?
You had to have two.
All right. Friends, that Jesus is not the Father. Jesus said, when you see me, you have seen, both seen and hated both me and my Father. And for the first time in the history of debating, I have heard a Trinitarian preacher get up and say, they saw both of them. Two. Did you hear him say they saw two? They saw two. Now, I read about them seeing Jesus, and when they saw him, they saw the Father. But now he says they saw two persons. Now, I want him to come back here in the last of his speech, and if you don't do it, you're going to lose every bit of this debate. I want you to turn there in John and tell us when they saw the other person beside Jesus, since they saw both of them. I'm glad I'm not sitting where he is tonight. Besides that, John 12:45, Jesus said, he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. Why? Because he was living inside of him. All right? The worship of Christ, the way this man preaches, is the worship of an image. Because the Bible says that Jesus is the express image of his person. Now, if God has a person apart from Jesus, we're going to send him to the Catholics because he's guilty of image worship. Our position is that when you worship Jesus, you're worshiping the image of the invisible God, because he is the mighty God, the everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. Before me there was no God born, neither shall there be after me. I demand that my friend read this chart right here and answer. Is my time gone?
Gentlemen moderators, honorable opponents, ladies and gentlemen. This will be the concluding speech of this debate, And as my Honorable Hornet has said, he's not mad at me, and I'm not mad at him. It's just his doctrine that I disagree with. He disagrees with mine, and I think that we've demonstrated that fact. He will not have an opportunity to stand and speak to you again. And I won't personally, any time you're in Dallas, if Paul Hood won't buy your lunch, I will. Well, amen.
I appreciate that,
sir. I appreciate Paul Hush, and I appreciate you people listening. My honorable opponent has wandered all over the country and has miserably failed again, I say, to prove his proposition. I've almost got him converted. Mr. Hicks has admitted, too. Now, he's read John chapter 7 and verse 39, as the Scripture has said. He says, what kind of faith? Mr. Hicks, the kind of faith that I'm talking about, you read about it in Acts chapter 16 and verse 31. Where the Philippian jailer cried out and said, sir, what must I do to be saved? That is one place in the Word of God where the question is asked, what must I do to be saved? And ladies and gentlemen, I maintain that the Apostle Paul knew how to give him an answer. And he said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. He baptized him later, and he'll not have an opportunity to answer this, and this is introducing new arguments. I know a little bit about debate, and before I go, I want to apologize for not answering your question. I did not do that on purpose. You get carried away. All right? The kind of faith that we preach, the kind of faith that we talk about, one being saved at the point of faith, we've already covered that, but he brought it up, the kind of faith that he's talking about. I'm talking about Bible faith, the moment that one exercises faith in Jesus Christ. And he had a lot to say about the check. That check illustrates the same type of check that he had. This check, it was in the account of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And ladies and gentlemen, according to his doctrine, according to his interpretation of Matthew 28, 19 and 20, he said, Jesus only, and I want him to take that kind of check to the bank with an account deposit like this and get the money. That's what I'm talking about. Now, you talk about building smoke screens. I've never seen a smoke screen, ladies and gentlemen, beat that. He knew what I was talking about, and you know what I'm talking about. That just goes to illustrate the kind of preaching that he preaches about the commission, as Jesus told him to go into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. He said, no, that doesn't make any difference. We do it in the name of Jesus. Well, he signed that check. I'm not forging his name, but he can't go to the bank and get any money on it. Mr. Hicks has admitted that there's two. I've almost got him converted. If I can just make that much progress with Paul Hush, I'll be doing all right. And what a miserable failure he made when he came to Acts chapter 7 about Stephen. Beloved, when Stephen was stoned to death, I could give you my ideas about what the child of God experiences when he leaves this life. But the Word of God, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, if you please, he saw fit to reveal it to us so we'd know about it. And Stephen looked steadfastly to heaven, and behold, he saw the Son of God standing at the right hand of God. And I'd like to see Mr. Hicks stand at his own right hand. In John chapter 20, At verse 31, but these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life. The entire book of John was written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And Mr. Hicks does not know the difference between image and manifestation. Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus was the express image of his Father. The Word of God says in the Hebrew letter, he says, God who extended time has spoken in times past by the prophets, has in these last days spoken by his Son, who was the express image of his Father. Now, he can't answer, get up and answer me, but ladies and gentlemen, image does not mean identity. I have a son, and they say that he possesses some of my attributes. But my son, Oscar Hill Jr. and Oscar number 3, we're not the same person. Jesus Christ is the express image of his Father, his person. God is a person. My friend doesn't believe he's a person. And Mr. Hicks, John chapter 1 and verse 15, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The Word was the living Word, beloved. The three personalities of the Godhead are clearly revealed in Romans chapter 15 and 30. Paul makes an appeal to the Romans in this scripture by saying, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. There is no way to overlook or disregard the plain truth of this statement. It is unmistakably clear he is beseeching them for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit. He is also asking their prayers to God. Throughout the entire Bible, we read of the triune God, the one deity. And manifestation does not mean identity, ladies and gentlemen. I'm ashamed of my opponent. Then he comes and accuses the Roman Catholic Church and accuses me of being a Catholic. I'm not the one that's out-roaming Rome. My opponent is the one that out-roams Rome. I ask you tonight, did the Roman Catholics write the book of Matthew? Everywhere you look, they say that the Catholics changed the formula for baptism. Ladies and gentlemen, there was not a oneness doctrine until the 3rd century. And there was a man by the name of Sabellian. And my opponent, he endorses and he embraces the Sabellian position of no distinctions in the Godhead. He was a monarch who lived in the 3rd century. Then he comes along and falsely charges me with being Roman Catholic. Ladies and gentlemen, he's the one that needs his collar turned backwards, because he's the one that has adopted the Roman Catholic method of baptismal regeneration. You read the catechism of any of our Roman Catholic friends, and you become a child of God the moment that they sprinkle the water on you. Well, you're just as bad. Up and tells you, eternity-bound people, that everybody in the world that has not submitted themselves to the kind of baptism that he performed, that you're going to have to split hell wide open, ladies and gentlemen. I have asked him time and time and again, ladies and gentlemen, this is not debate. You need to hear what I've got to say. Then he says that you've got to be dragged through the water. and have his formula called up over your head as he puts you under the water. That's what he's teaching. The Word of God said, and it came from the lips of Jesus, I want you to go into all the world and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost. He says, we do not baptize in titles, but he says, I baptize in the name of the Lord Jesus. I wonder if you people that attend the United Pentecostal Church here, do you know that Lord is a title? We don't baptize in titles, the preachers tell me.
Answer the question.
Absolutely. And, Mr. Hicks, the one that you won't answer in Deuteronomy, that gift puts God out front of all the pagan gods of that day. All the pagan gods. I worship the God of heaven. I do not deny the Son of God. And back to Genesis 1:26. He has not said a word about God, whether he was talking to himself or to whom he was speaking, when God said, let us make man. He didn't explain to us what the word us meant. And ladies and gentlemen, I declare unto you that God and the Son were present in creation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to ask you, can us ever mean one? To inquire, to put the word us in there, ladies and gentlemen, that is admitting that there's more than one. I walk out that door. I say, I walk out this door. And Mr. Hicks is by my side. I say, we walk out this door. There would be more than one person. And then God said, in the 11th chapter of the book of Genesis, he saw that the wickedness of man's heart. He said, let us go down and do something about it. They're trying to work their way to heaven, and there's a lot of other people trying to do it by their hands today. God said, let us make man. I've asked several people to demonstrate to me how one could sit upon his own right hand. And he's been a little comical at times, and that's all right. But he has utterly failed to prove his non-Trinitarian concept of God. He fails to understand the mathematics of heaven. You can count, Casey. 1, 2, and 3. How many things have I got up there?
3 gods.
No, not 3 gods. 1 god. But this 1 god is in 3 distinct persons. I tell you, that was the biggest dodge that he made on the baptism of the Lord Jesus Christ that I ever saw. We've got a big God. Then he accuses me of not knowing anything about the omnipotence, the omniscience, and omnipresence of God. God is all-powerful. God is all-knowing, ladies and gentlemen, and he's every place. David said, behold, if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. There's no way in the world that you can get out of the presence of God. But ladies and gentlemen, I tell you that God sent his beloved Son into the world, and he went to the cruel cross, and he shed his blood for your sins. And I declare to you tonight that your sins are washed away in his precious blood, and not the magic formula that my opponent tries to tell you must be called over your head. And with all the love, and all trying to understand, I asked him honestly and sincerely, Mr. Hicks, when the deity, absolute deity of Jesus and his name was discovered in 1914, I want to know what happened to the people in America that lived in 1638. Mr. Hicks, One God in three persons. Three persons in one God. The Bible said in Ephesians 4, there's one Lord, there's one faith, and there's one baptism, and he teaches two. In your church manual, you've got to be baptized in water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and then experience the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Or you can't be ordained and preached. Now, how many baptisms do you have to teach?
God's in a baptism.
One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. That answers. That's right. One Lord, one faith, and one baptism. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He's got John 3:16. And beloved, Jesus Christ was 100% God, and he was 100% man. I declare to you that in these closing moments, that if you have placed your trust and your faith in the waters of baptism and not in the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, ladies and gentlemen, according to what I preach, you have not experienced the new birth. Flying in the face. Mr. Hicks, I'm ashamed of you. Charging everybody and wanting to turn our collars backwards. The image. Does image mean identity, Mr. Hicks? Huh? Does image mean the same thing as identity? Answer me. Stand up and answer. Does image mean identity? Please, pretty please.
I don't believe in image worship.
That's a pretty good dodge, isn't it? I don't believe in image worship either. I asked him if image meant identity. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.